Pastor Kurt asked me to introduce myself some, so I need to do something because I've been away from church a lot of time. My name is Chuck Kwok. I teach here at U of South Carolina. I usually worship in the Chinese worship service, but occasionally I also come to the English worship service to pray, to preach. The topic I would like to share with you today is called In His Steps. I wonder if you are facing a storm right now. Maybe facing some low time of your life or facing some very tough situation. So I would like to use this message to encourage one another. The chapter is from Matthew 14, 22 to 33. If you cannot find the Bible, you can read it all from here on the screen. Could we read together? Let's go. Immediately, please continue. Lord,
if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat,
I guess quite a few of you are very familiar with this passage, so I would like to use this message to help remind one another and encourage one another. I'm going to break this passage into four sections. All starting with the phrase, facing storm. Facing storm with prayer, facing storm with God's strength, facing a storm with focus on Jesus, and facing a storm with God to glorify God and experience Him. I didn't forgot to delete some of the words. So let's bow our heads and pray once more. Father, thank you for bringing us together to worship you, and pray for our brothers and sisters who may be in tough time right now. Use your spirit to encourage us so that we can face the storm with your strength. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So, breaking down the passage into four parts. The first one, facing the storm with prayer. I would like to analyze this passage as if we are studying the Bible. We are studying the Bible. But when we analyze the Bible, a lot of times we use several W's. Who, what, when, where, how, and the last one usually is why. So let's study this passage, the short first passage, together once again. Could I ask the ladies, the sisters, read once more, 22 to 23. Ladies, please. What happened? It happened is that Jesus sent his disciple to get to the boat and get ahead of him to go to the other side of the lake. So that's the event. What? When? Immediately. Why? Why immediately? Why such a rush? If you analyze the passage in parallel with another similar passage in John, you can find that before this passage, what happened? The same thing. In the Gospel of John, it mentioned that Jesus just finished feeding the 5,000. So why, after feeding the 5,000, Jesus was in such a rush to hurry the disciples to go in the boat and go to the other side of the lake? Let me ask you. I think to me, maybe there are several possible explanations. On one hand, the 5,000 people just want to follow Jesus because they want their stomachs to be filled. They're chasing after Jesus day by day, and Jesus doesn't want to have lose the focus. So he wants to get away from the mass and retreat to a quiet time. Maybe the 5,000, when seeing Jesus as this miracle ability, they push him to be king and quickly expedite the process of his time on earth. Then he has to face the hostility of the Jewish leaders quickly. But he wants some more time. He wants some more time with his disciples. So instead of following the crowd, what did he do? He retreated to the mountain alone. And he spent a lot of time praying. Especially when I'm facing the storm, it's very important to pray alone. Sometimes I went out to do ministry. Sometimes I can see that God's hand is mighty, changing a lot of people's hearts, giving a lot of fruits and other things. But instead of going out to celebrate, I prefer to retreat on my own, pray to him. First, to thank him, praise him. And more importantly, I don't want to lose my focus. Because the crowd, the mass will push you around that easily you're so busy that you lose your focus. So my preference usually is to retreat, be alone, praise him, reflect upon my purpose of life once again, and get recharged. Are you facing the storm now? Maybe you're very busy with your storm. Retreat and have some quiet time. Don't lose your focus. Second passage, facing the storm with God's strength. May I ask our brothers to read 14, 24 to 26. Brothers, please, go. By the boat. We talk about Jesus with the whole focus on Jesus in the first scene. And what did he do? He pray alone. Why? Immediately. He has that need. He need to be recharged. He need to refocus. Now our focus now shift to the other side. Who? The disciples. Where? In the middle of the lake. What they do? They were struggling. They were even terrified. Why? Because they're rowing the boats, but the waves are so much against them. The wind was so much against them. So when they row the boat, it was getting nowhere. The storm was too much for them. They were facing the storm. Maybe you're facing the situation just like rowing a boat around, getting nowhere. You row so hard, but just circling. Going round and round and getting lower. Let me ask you a question. Do you know where you're heading? The disciples, at least one thing is sure, they know where they're heading. Because they were instructed to move from one side of the lake to the other side of the lake, the direction is clear. But sometimes facing the storms, we don't even know where we're going. You lose your focus, the direction. The disciples has the advantage that they know very clearly that they need to go to the other side of the lake. But on this path, they face a lot of struggles. The waves was against them. The wind was blowing against them. Early this year, our student fellowship will hold a minor retreat, a small retreat for the seekers. We find that maybe it's good to We have a retreat place for 2 or 3 days so we can share the gospel, have some good time with them, so that our sharing will sink in, that they think and we can interact. So we pray about this meeting for a long while. But guess what? 1 week, about two weeks before, only 10 people registered. Of course, 10 people, we can still go to the retreat, but it was not so much fun. So brothers and sisters of the fellowship, we pray very hard. We also ask the congregation, our bigger congregation, our church to pray for that. Amazingly, the last week, 30 people came during the last minute. But at least, although there was a storm, we know where we are heading. Do you know where you're heading? Or you're just facing a storm, getting nowhere, and you don't even know where you're heading. If you don't know where you're heading, pray first. Don't lose your focus and pray for God's strength. These people, these folks, when they saw Jesus walking on the lake, what did they do? They were terrified. They were so exhausted after all this storm, they were terrified. They thought it was a ghost. They lost faith. When they saw something flowing on the lake, they were terrified. And fortunately, there was a word of comfort quickly came to them. This is the third passage. May I ask the ladies to help us read 14, 27 to 31. Ladies, please.
Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand.
So the first focus of my passage is the facing storm with prayer. The second one is the facing storm relying on God's strength. And the third one, facing storm by not losing focus, with the focus on Jesus and Jesus alone. So when they saw Jesus walking the water, they thought it was a ghost. So that's why they were very afraid. But here quickly came a message of comfort. He said, "Don't be afraid, take courage. It is me. It is I. Don't be afraid." It's a word of very comfortable message. Don't be afraid. And then Peter had an idea. "Oh, if it's you, God, help me. Get out of the boat and walk towards you. Walk on the water." Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, is Peter's proposition good or bad? Is Peter's proposition good or bad? What do you think? Good or bad?
Bad.
It can be mixed. On one hand, it's good because Peter was brave enough. The other folks were scared, right? They thought it was ghosts. And Peter's, among the whole group, he was brave enough to ask for that. He relied on something that's not sure to give him strength to walk on the water. What if it's not Jesus? They would sink and die. So in that sense, Peter was good because he was the bravest out of all. But at the same time, I think it's bad. I agree with you. What he asked is unnecessary. Because he asked for Jesus' assurance by doing what? By just walking on the water. And that is necessary. And sometimes we ask God for some assurance for doing something that's not necessary. So he's good and bad, both. As an instructor, I give him 50%. But still not bad. He was walking. And you know what? God was so kind to us. God is so kind to us. Sometimes so merciful. Sometimes with these little things, just like kid things, asking some special requests, not very meaningful, but God still grants us. He said, "Come on, come. You want to try walking on water? Try it. Be my guest." I don't know if you have that feeling or not. Sometimes I struggle with God with minor things. I say, God, show me where you are. Show me you love me. Show me a little thing. And sometimes God spoiled me. He did show me. So nothing very important. But that minor touch, the little touch, comfort me. If you refer to the Old Testament, when Moses said, Moses was very down, what he said, God, let me see you. I need encouragement today. Let me see you. That's not necessary. But God said, okay, but I need to tell you, if you see me, you will die. Instead of seeing me, I'll let you see my back. How about that? So when Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking on the water, he walked very well. And then when he saw the wind, he just sank. And what did Jesus do? Now notice this very carefully. And he said, cry out, Lord, save him. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, you of little faith. Now this order is very important if you pay attention. Jesus did not say, when Peter cried, just do not scold him right away. You have little faith. And then pull him up. Right? Instead, he stretched his hand, pull him up, and then you have little faith. God's kindness usually precedes his justice. Because he's just a loving father. He wants to teach us. But he cares for us even more. And first, just like parents dealing with their children, love them first, and then what? Discipline. Discipline out of love. And then comforted is Jesus. Let me ask you, why initially Peter was walking so well on the water and suddenly sank? What changed the situation? What changed the situation? Initially, he was walking so well, and suddenly he sank. It's because he was losing his focus. Initially, he was staring, walking toward Jesus. His eye was focusing on Jesus, but he was distracted. And suddenly, when the wind blew, he looked at the wind, and he looked at the waves, and when he started losing focus, surely, he sank. So you are facing storm right now. Don't look at environments. You sink for sure. Instead, put the focus on him. If you lose focus, the more you lose focus, the weaker you are. And that's my experience. At the end, I'm going to share a testimony with you. Depends on time, how much I have. But you said, Chuck, everybody would like to focus on Jesus, but this is it's your wish. Let me see whether I can get my control back. Everybody would like to focus on Jesus, but let's talk. In difficult time, the environment was so tough. You could not help but face and focus on the environment because it was so pressing. So difficult. So let me ask you, why were some people able to focus on Jesus in tough time while other people cannot? Let's think of this. Why can people, some people can focus on Jesus, put a focus on Jesus when it was tough time while other people cannot? I can divide it into several aspects. The cognitive aspect, the emotional aspect, and basically, back to the bottom line, the daily walk, your daily walk with God. Let me crack a story, give you an illustration. Suppose here, I got in big trouble. There are men on the street. He knows that I'm in trouble. He said, don't worry, I'm going to help you. I'll fully support you and get you passed by. When he says so, first, cognitively, what do I say? Who are you? I don't know you. I don't know whether you're saying that to trick me more so that you deceive me from all the money left I have. use my best situation, right? And adding stone into injury, and insult into injury. You try to rob me further. Because I don't know you, because I'm a stranger. Although you said you are well-intended, but I'm not sure, because I don't know you. Now, even if I know that you are a millionaire, but how do I know that? Why do you do that for me? We have no relationship. Why do you care for me? There's no reason for that. So I cannot trust you. If Dan is here, we have been friends for long years. If Gensel told me, Chuck, no problem, I'll help you. I'll help you through this difficult time. I know Dan. Cognitively, I know who he is, although he's not rich. I know for sure. But now I know who he is. And we have personal relationship for long years. We have this emotional aspect. So I know that Dan will not let me alone, not let me down. He will try his best to help me out. What's your relationship with God? If you don't like to read the Bible, and you do not have a daily walk with God, you will sin for sure. Because you don't trust him. Cognitively, you don't know who he is. God seems to be a stranger to you. And you don't have a personal touch. You don't have a personal intimacy with God every day. So when it's a tough time, how can you trust him? Of course, you focus on something that's very clear, the environment, not on him. Because you don't have a very strong day-to-day intimate relationship with him. Facing storm without losing the focus. Finally, we have the facing the storm. Let me see whether I can control you guys. Yes. Let me read that together. 14, 32, to 33. Let's go. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The first one facing storm is that facing storm with prayer. The second facing storm is faith. Facing storm by relying God's strength. The third one facing storm is to not to lose focus, but with a focus always on Jesus and Jesus alone. But you ask, why do you allow me to face the storm to start with God? Jesus, why do you allow this wind to blow across the boat? You tell us, this is you who tell us to get in the boat and get in the direction. But why do you allow the storm to come to start with? And God said, through this, you experience me. And through this, I'll be glorified. So what happened after this? They worship him and said, truly, truly, you are the Son of God. The storms you are facing right now, brothers and sisters, are of meaning. It's for good intention. And you know what? God is always in control. He wants to use this to bless you. Through this, you'll grow in him. And his name will be glorified through you. My time is running out. I actually have a second part. Why did I choose this passage? Because this passage saved me when I was very, very rough time. Unfortunately, my time is out. As a professor, usually that is very conscious of time, I better cut. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for having us together to worship you. You really deserve our worship. You really deserve our glory. May our lives every day get close to you. So when we are facing the storm, instead of facing, looking at what's around us, we put our focus on you. Because we have been, every day, putting our focus on you. And through that, through the storm, help us grow in you. And our light will shine more and more because of you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.